Morning, brethren. Privilege and a pleasure to be here with you today. This building has some special memories for me. I began to work out here in the computer industry, I believe it was 1971, possibly the fall of 1970, something like that. Spent many hours down in the computer center down the hall there. So this is bring back a lot of memories to be meeting out here in this facility. Recently, I received an email from the man that I work for at the company in which I'm employed, and it started out like this, that it's that magical time of the year, annual reviews. And I'm sure that all of his direct reports were thrilled to hear that, but that was his way of kicking off the annual review process, whereby we were informed to fill out the assessment paperwork that we use in the company in which I'm employed, and to go through this self-evaluation process, which is also matched up by, you know, the supervisor's evaluation, so that you can compare the validity of your own assessment with that of the assessor. And so that was how the process starts at the company in which I work for. I was struck by some of the parallels with that, with the annual assessment that we go through on an annual basis. And every year we're admonished, as I've heard at least three times already, this scripture has been used, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Mr. McCarty used that scripture. Mr. Trabig has used that scripture. Mr. Johnson has used that scripture. And I intend to do the same thing. So I would like to take a view in terms of looking at 2 Corinthians 13:5, which is where that scripture is quoted from, and to read from the New King James the entire scripture. And then hopefully everything technologically will work out here as far as the display of that. 2 Corinthians 13:5, New King James Version. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. So my purpose this morning for a few minutes is to take a look at one way, and there are many ways, but this is just one way that we might individually and collectively examine ourselves as to whether we are in the faith, by taking a look at the seven churches mentioned in Revelation 2 and 3 and looking at an assessment as it might be considered of Jesus Christ with those seven churches, and for us to look at that message for each of the churches and to assess ourselves with the same material. So let's look first at four different ways that the seven churches might be looked at. There's others besides this, but this is material from the Scofield Reference Bible. There are four different points of view about how the message to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3 might be viewed. The first is local, and that would be to the churches, to the individual seven churches that are all in Asia Minor, as we call it now, or the nation of Turkey, and those seven cities there that each had a local church. It could be taken, the message can be taken locally to the churches actually addressed. Second way that it can be taken is admonitory to all churches in all time as tests by which they may discern their true spiritual state in the sight of God. And again, this is a theologian's perspective about how the messages might be looked at. But that's for your consideration. These are two ways. A third way is personally, that each of us individually can look at those messages to the seven churches, and we can, in the exhortations to him that has an ear, you know, that's mentioned, and in the promises to him that overcomes. So we can look at those seven messages, those seven assessments, and we can look at those personally. We can take those personally. And the fourth and last is prophetic, as disclosing seven phases of the spiritual history of the church from approximately 96 AD, you know, roughly the time when the Apostle John wrote the revelation, or recorded the revelation given to him by Jesus Christ, from that time to the end. I think historically in the church, we've looked at the message to the seven churches in a couple of other ways. One is that it could be, you know, a chronological, you know, history of the seven churches, a chronological record. And then also it could be looked at in yet another way, and that is where all seven states or all seven assessments coexisted at all times. So that's just for your consideration of the different ways that those messages can be taken. First of all, let's take a look at who is providing the message to the seven churches. Who's actually doing the assessment? One of the things that struck me about that in this particular time in Revelation 1 was, this is the Apostle John. This is the beloved disciple. This is the disciple that it appears to be that Jesus Christ had perhaps the closest relationship with physically of all of those that he interacted with and those that he called, when he was physically on the earth. And so I'm struck in some ways by the record here of what the Apostle John, who spent at least 3.5 years with Jesus Christ personally, and this revelation is from Jesus Christ and recorded by the Apostle John, and just the dynamic and the language there. For the sake of time, I'm going to need to read through these quickly. But this is about who is providing the message, starting in verse 11 of chapter 1. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. This is all about Jesus Christ. And what you see, write in a book, send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, and then they're listed. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. When I was a lot younger, I used to think there were six churches of God and one of some other state. But over a period of time, I came to learn and was instructed they're all seven churches of God. So regardless of the attributes, each of these is a church of God. Verse 12, turn to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, notice the capitalization, that's a reference to Jesus Christ, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And again, these are all characteristics, attributes, that the Apostle John records about the provider of the message to the seven churches, that being Jesus Christ. Verse 16, he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. And here's part of that contrast. You think, now, the Apostle John knew Jesus Christ very well, but this revelation is such and so powerful that, the Apostle John, collapsed, fell at his feet as if dead. Verse 18, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive evermore. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and of death. Jesus Christ's words. Write the things which you've seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after this. Final verse, and this is the bridge between the information about the messenger and then to the message to each of the seven churches. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and again that's Jesus Christ, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Was struck a little bit by the angel. You wonder, what were their names? What are the characteristics of each of those angels, of the seven churches? Just a curiosity. There's no way that I know of to be able to ascertain that, but just a curiosity. And then let's take a look at the first message. And we're going to look at each of these seven messages, and we're going to do a little bit of analysis of the assessment. Message to the Church of Ephesus, Revelations 2, 1 to 7. The angel of the Church of Ephesus write. For some reason I used to just, that just didn't compute with me, and I was thinking it was directly to the church, but, the verse says to the angel of the Church of Ephesus write. And it doesn't mean that the church doesn't receive it, but I'm just struck by that the message is to the angel of the church. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, a reference back to 120. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. And again, we're reading this in parallel with what we would as employees receive in companies which do this. We would have an assessment made. And that assessment might have bearing on stewardship, leadership, fiduciary responsibility, alignment with the corporation's mission statement, vision statement, and things like that. So the parallel is this is spiritual, whereas we who work in companies that do this are assessed, you know, physically based on our characteristics and our performance. Verse 5, remember therefore from where you've fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And the last verse to this church, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now what I'd like to do is to take that message and let's try to reverse engineer from the text that we have and the points that were made what the assessment form looks like, or what the points of assessment might be. The first, and I'm going to color code these for the sake of ease of visual sortation. The blue, and hopefully that will come across where it's semi-legible, the identity and attributes of the assessor. We'll see when we go back and look at this that what you see in blue, and again, this is just my opinion, that a quarter might get you a cup of coffee, but coffee's been going up. But you'd be free to, you know, to come up with your own scheme and your own assessment to see, you know, how you would assess it. Blue is the identity and attributes of the assessor. And then there is the assessment, which is in two parts. In green, there is a positive commendation, that which you have done well. There's also in red, there's areas that need remediation and the consequences of not changing. And then finally, we have in gold a reward for performance. So if we can take that message to the to each of these churches, and we can take a look at it, then if we, you know, impose our color scheme back over this, then here's what we might come up with. We see that in blue, here's some attributes revealed to the church at Ephesus about Jesus Christ. He who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Now then in the assessment, green being the positive commendation, we see, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. You've tested those that say they're apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You've persevered, you have patience, you've labored for my name's sake, you've not become weary. And now we have what I call the uh-oh. And we all know what that may feel like in an individual assessment, where we really like the positive condemnations, but sometimes there's some of these where there's the need for remediation. To this particular church, in my opinion, then we have, you know, this area that is the assessment of their state that is demonstrates a need for remediation, a need for change. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. That's a problem. That's something that needs to change. Verse 5, remember from where you have fallen. That describes that you weren't always in this currently assessed position. At one time you had the zeal of the first love, but at present you do not. Repent and do the first works, or else I'll come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. Consequences of not changing, unless you repent. The restatement again. And then, in my opinion, verse 6 is actually another commendation. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Nicolaitans is an interesting word there, and there are quite a few different opinions, both in the church and from theologians, about what that might mean. Even in our writings from the past, it's possible that is a reference to Balaam, and it's a restatement of Balaam and Balak and what they did to the children of Israel. It's a possibility that there's a reference to a deacon mentioned in Acts. That's a different opinion. There's a possibility that it could have become a sect of the Gnostics. There is another opinion from a theologian that believes that these are two Greek words that put together have to do with clergy and membership. And again, I do not know what exactly that means, but in this particular case, the church at Ephesus was assessed that you hate those improper deeds or those incorrect deeds, and that is a commendation. And then in blue, we have a very interesting statement. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I thought about that, and I think to me that comes across as emphasizing the severity of this, that this is something that I need to pay attention to. That's the way that comes across to me. This is the significant point, and that the assessor, Jesus Christ, is making that statement. You need to pay attention to this assessment. And then finally, in gold there, the reward for performance. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Okay, so we have our scheme there of blue is the identity and attributes of the assessor. Green is positive commendation. Red is areas needing remediation and the consequences of not changing. And then fourth, gold for the reward for performance. Let's move on to the next church. Message to the church in Smyrna. Interesting. No red. No red. Everything is a positive commendation. We see in blue, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. A different attribute of Jesus Christ, the assessor, that's mentioned here in the message to the angel of the church of Smyrna. Now then, the positive commendation. I know your works, tribulation, poverty, but you're rich, contrasting physical and spiritual. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they're Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. False Christianity. Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Different opinions about what that means in terms of chronologically or historically. And then in gold, a reward for performance. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. That's the ultimate reward. Again in blue, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Pay attention. This is significant. That's the way that sentence comes across. Those two clauses come across to me. And then finally, he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Reward for performance. So as we look at these messages to the seven churches, hopefully we can start to look at ourselves and we can say, now what? How does that or does that positive commendation or the need for remediation, does that apply to me? You know, how would I be assessed, or how do I self-assess in terms of applicability to me? Let's move to the third church, to the message to the church in Pergamos. And we see that now we have all four colors represented, so we know that there are areas that need work. In blue, more about the assessor. These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. Restatement of Revelation 1:20 again. The commendation. I know your works. You know, and there's an interesting part of that I find that this isn't now someone else has told me about your works. I know your works. This is a personal assessment. I'm actively engaged and involved. I know what your works are. Speaking in verse 13, these are the words of Jesus Christ. He knows the works. Where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. There's different opinions about where Satan's throne might be. Is that more a specific physical locality, or is that a reference to the society and the world in which we live? I'm not sure that we can definitively conclude one way or the other. I believe that it applies both ways, though. You hold fast to my name, did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. This church had persecution. They had some very difficult times, apparently, where that you're facing martyrdom. And some very tough circumstances and times to live through. Areas for remediation. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. So this church had some problems with some things with idolatry and then sexual immorality. Thus, you also have those who hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which is brought up again, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And again, that's consequences for not heeding the assessment and changing. The statement again about the applicability of the message. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To me personally, that says I need to pay attention to that. It's significant. And again, the reward for performance there in the last part of verse 17. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. To me, that's a direct reference to the days of unleavened bread. We will read about that. We will be instructed in that during the Passover in the days of unleavened bread. Jesus Christ in the role of being the bread of life and being the hidden manna. I will give him a white stone and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Moving on to the church in Thyatira. We see quite a bit of red on this one, not as much green. And again, attributes of the assessor in verse 18. These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. Additional characteristics and attributes of Jesus Christ. Why he reveals different attributes, I don't know. But I'm curious as to that he does not repeat the same characteristic to each of the churches. There's something different that he reveals to the Apostle John and reveals to us about himself in each one of these assessments. Verse 19, the commendation. I know your works, love, service, faith, your patience, and as for your works, the last are more than the first. Differentiation. There is an assessment that I can see positive growth. I can see progress from this point to that point. That you're not static. That it is a dynamic relationship. You are making positive progress. You're making progress. And then we have several verses of areas that need remediation. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Same two problems from the previous church. They're stated in a similar fashion. I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all of the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And then we shift, in my opinion, to reward for performance. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. We're rewarded according to our works. If we have a successful, positive performance, then we will receive a commensurate reward. And then a positive commendation here. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depth of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. I think that comes across as a reassurance that I'm not going to try you beyond what you can stand. You know, that's a paraphrase from the Gospels. You know, I'm not going to try you beyond what you're capable of dealing with. 25. But hold fast what you have till I come. Hang on. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't let anybody take your crown. And then we have reward for performance. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. And then finally, there's that statement again. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Moving on to the church in Sardis. A lot of red on this one. And again, attributes of the assessor in blue. These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Right off the bat, I know your works, that you have a name, that you're alive, but you're dead. Started off, no positive commendation to contrast and compare with the need for remediation. Right off the bat, you know, you have a name, that you're alive, but you're dead. You have serious problems. You have some serious needs, and we need to, this needs to be corrected quickly. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you've received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. To me, those are references to a couple places in the Gospels. One to, you know, Jesus Christ's words to some of the disciples. You couldn't even watch an hour? You remember that? We'll cover that. I'm sure that will be covered again as we, you know, approach the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Also, you know, we've heard recently a sermon that focused on Luke 21:36. Watch. Okay, verse 4. Short commendation. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The reward for performance. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And then finally, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The sixth church to Philadelphia. Notice, no red. No red there. That's all positive commendation. A little bit more about the assessor. A little longer revelation about attributes of the assessor. These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. You know, it's not about our strength. It's about the strength of God and of Jesus Christ. And the positive commendation. I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door. No one can shut it. For you have a little strength. You know, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 1:26. And I think that applies to most all of us. Certainly applies to me. You kept my word and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they're Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. John 13:17 comes to mind about that phrase there, that I have loved you, to know that I have loved you. Because you've kept my commands to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. And then we go directly to reward for performance. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Finally, two clauses again. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Finally, the message to the church in Laodicea. Notice, no green. There's only the need for remediation. We begin with the attributes of the assessor. These things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Reminded there about Revelation 13:8, you know, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, the beginning. Go right to the areas needing remediation. I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold. I was thinking of a couple of physical analogies. Does anybody like warm salad dressing? What about cold béarnaise sauce? I mean, those are repugnant to me. So I think of a simple physical thing of you have something in your mouth and you're expecting, you know, delicious béarnaise and it just doesn't come off like that. Or it's salad dressing that you expect a certain piquancy and, oh, it's warm, or it's just not what you expected. Neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Not a very pretty picture. Because you say, I'm rich and become wealthy, have need of nothing. I do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I think, wow, what would that feel like sitting on the other side of the table and being assessed and to have your next level supervisor or the person that you answer to say those things? You know, you're wretched, you're miserable in your performance, you're doing poorly. You don't see. You're blind. You don't know what's going on. You're not appropriately clothed. You're not focused on the mission of this organization. That would be very, very difficult to deal with. That would be very sobering to be spoken to like that. And this more so because this is the spiritual assessment. 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. And then we go to the reward for performance. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. That one I struggled with as far as whether that was which category to put that in. But that I believe that could be used in a couple of different ways. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And again, these are seven churches of God. They're not 4 and 3 or 2 and 5, they're all 7 are churches of God. What I'd like to do very briefly for the sake of time, let's aggregate the data for each of these characteristics. Okay, if we look at all of the blues, then here's what we see. These are characteristics of the assessor that are aggregated from each of the message to the 7 churches. Let's just look at the bullet points very quickly. He who holds the 7 stars in his hand walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. First and the last was dead, came to life. He who has the sharp two-edged sword says the Son of God. He is the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. Has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. Direct reference back to 1:20. These things says he who is holy. He's holy, he's true. Has the key of David. He opens, no one shuts. He has the power to enforce that. Shuts, no one can open. He's the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And then 7 times that last sentence is repeated. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I believe there's an urgency to that. For us, for me, to pay attention to these assessments. Now then, let's take a quick look in two pairs of slides, the positive commendations. Couldn't get all of those on one slide and be able to read it. Know your works, your labor, your patience. You hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. I know your works, your tribulation, your poverty. Now, I know the blasphemy of those who say they're Jews and aren't. Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. You know, the devil's about to throw some of you in prison that you may be tested and you'll have tribulation 10 days. I know your works, where you dwell. We're all in the world. We all have to face the influences of Satan and of society and then our own selves. See the rest of those on the second slide here. Know your works, love, service, faith, patience. See the progress that you've made, that the last works are greater than those of the first, than the first works. Hold fast what you have till I come. you have a few names that have not defiled their garments. They'll walk with me, for they're worthy. I know your works. I've set before you an open door. Nobody can shut it. Even though we have a little strength, Jesus Christ is not so limited. Who kept my word, have not denied my name. Then the statement there, I'll make those of the synagogue of Satan who are false Christians, I'll make them worship at your feet. Because you kept my command to persevere, I'll keep you from the hour of trial. And this is a collection of all of those positive commendations. Now let's go through and look at the areas needing remediation in two slides. A lot of material here. Have this against you. You've left your first love. Does that apply to me? Have I left my first love? Remember from where you've fallen. Repent. Do the first works. We have to look at those problems that with idolatry and sexual immorality that two of the churches had. Repent, or I will come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. This status quo for this particular assessment is not acceptable. You either change or you're out. That's the way that comes across in more the vernacular. The restatement there with sexual immorality and idolatry. And then the second slide that has the rest of the characteristics or of the areas needing remediation. Consequences, it's a death penalty if we don't change. I know your works. It searches the minds and hearts, it's who Jesus Christ is and what he does. If you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead, be watchful, strengthen the things which remain. Remember how you've received and heard. Hold fast. Repent. I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold. Wish you were one or the other. Can't stay in this state of mediocrity, of lukewarmness. It's got to be one or the other. Status quo is, again, not acceptable. Counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. Anoint your eyes that you may see. And now then finally, let's look at the aggregation of all of the values there, or the reward for performance. To him that overcomes will I give to eat from the tree of life, eternal life. Be faithful unto death, I'll give you the crown of life. You shall not be hurt by the second death. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. I will give to each one of you according to your works. He who overcomes keeps my works to the end. To him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with the rod of iron. And we have rulership under the direction of Jesus Christ. And the rest of them on the second slide. He who overcomes will be clothed in white garments and will be... I will not blot out his name from the book of life. We will have our names in the book of life. I'm coming quickly. Hold fast that which you have. He who overcomes, I'll make a pillar in the temple. I'll write on him my new name. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And that's the collection of those last two there. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in to him and dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Okay. I'd like to leave you with a couple of thoughts. As we examine ourselves, how many of the characteristics of different church areas do we exhibit? I'd like to ask a little humorous theological question. Ever meet anybody that wasn't from Philadelphia? We all want to be Philadelphian. But in my case, I'd have to say, and I'm not going to tell you which three they are, but I can identify in my spiritual life at least three of these church eras or characteristics that I have hopefully had and hopefully have made progress, and that the former or the latter works are greater than the former. That's for Jesus Christ to assess and declare. My point is that in my case, I can identify more than one attribute. I hope that I can move and remain in those that have that positive commendation. curious, as we each assess ourselves, you know, if we see something similar. There may be some of you here that have been Philadelphian from the time that you came up out of the baptismal waters to the present day. Second thought, how would each of those churches or church eras interact with each other? I couldn't figure out how to do it quickly, but I visualized the seven in a circle and then the lines between them. How would Ephesus, who has lost its first love, interact with Philadelphia, who is energized and focused? What kind of relationship would Laodicea, who already has everything, I've got no problems. No problems. How would they interact with Sardis? How would they interact with Ephesus? How would they interact with Pergamos or Smyrna or Philadelphia? Point is, there's differences, and those differences pose challenges. And if we exhibit the characteristics of that particular church, in my opinion, there is going to be friction at the point of contact with those different churches and the different eras. I believe we're faced with some of the same challenges, that as we interact with other Christians, you know, we may run into some challenges in our perspective, producing some friction with that of another. And I think that's something that all of us in all churches of all time have had and do have to work on in terms of our relationship with brethren. Because again, those are seven churches of God. They have different characteristics, they have different strengths, they have different weaknesses, but they're all seven churches of God. And I think that, you know, in the things that we have lived through in our Christian lives and in our Christian journeys, we've certainly seen, you know, times where that there is the need to focus on our interactions with fellow brethren, and that hopefully we can do so with respect and with dignity, and that we can do so as a product and as a result of the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. In conclusion, again, let's take a look at that verse in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Hopefully this morning, this afternoon, that this is just one way of taking a look and performing this annual self-assessment that we do. And as it is with our assessment, you know, professionally, we do that all throughout the year. We keep a record of our successes and our failures, how we do well, so that we're not thinking, now, what did I do in the first quarter? You know, did I do well or not? Well, I don't even have an idea. Same thing spiritually. We are self-assessing throughout the year, and we put maybe special emphasis on our assessment prior to the Passover, but this is a process that takes place continually. Hopefully this will give us some thoughts about how we may examine ourselves and look at ourselves in the context of the assessment of Jesus Christ, or by Jesus Christ, of the seven eras of the church.